Anyway, this guy said this one statement that just marked me, and I carried it with me, and I found it to be very true. He said, you never pray more for your children than when they leave the nest. And I found that he was saying it in the context of he had a daughter who just gave him a phone call, said, yeah, Dad, so I'm on my way to Israel. And we're like, and he's like, you know, this is 20 years ago. Things weren't great then either. But all of a sudden your single daughter just decided to go to Israel, and there's nothing you can do about it except pray. And, you know, it's funny the things that drive us to a place of prayer. And I found that to be true in this season, too, as we've got kids moving out of the house. And I found I'm not very good at being second. I'm not very good at being the one that's consulted after the decision. But the Lord is doing a work in me as well. But isn't it the things that drive us to the place of prayer? We're going through a study in Daniel. We're in Daniel chapter 9 today, and we're going to be looking specifically at Daniel's prayer as a model for our life as well, and in our prayer life. And I don't want us to come away, my heart today isn't just that we would pray more, but I want to look at Daniel's prayer as a model, as an invitation to pray more deeply, deeper prayer that would be more enjoyable and would lead us to greater prayer. So speaking of prayer, let's all stand together, and we just want to open our time in the Word just by inviting the Holy Spirit to come and lead us and open our eyes and open our ears and give us understanding into all that we read today. So I'm just going to be silent here for about 30 seconds and just give you a chance to pray to the Lord by yourself and just welcome the Holy Spirit and ask for His help this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, we bless you and welcome you today in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in your presence. We thank you for the freedom to do so. We thank you for, Lord, those who have served us this morning in song and in prophetic utterance. And Lord, we just thank you for just the way you've met us already today. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we honor it. We love it. We bless it. And Lord, we want to see and understand more. We want to be transformed this morning by your word, by your Spirit's work in our hearts today. And so we just ask you for help. We ask that you would lead this time, that you would open our eyes and our ears, that you would release a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of who you are, Lord, on our hearts, on our minds today. God, give us understanding. And Lord, teach us your ways, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Daniel chapter 9, and we're just open up there, beginning in verse 1. Daniel writes, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom in the first year of his reign." And I just want to take a minute just to kind of give us a context here for a timeline. But in 605 BC, Daniel was taken into captivity and brought into Babylon. And scholars estimate he's probably about 15 to 18 years old. And just to follow the storyline, you remember in chapter 5, Belshazzar is throwing a feast. He sees a hand writing on the wall. That was the last night of Belshazzar's reign. But in 550, Belshazzar came into power as the co-regent in Babylon. And we read in chapter 7, that was the first vision that Daniel had. The second one he had was in 548. But then in 539, Babylon falls to the Medo-Persian Empire, and we have here Daniel's prayer. And so right now, Daniel is praying this at about 81 years old, which again, I said this a few weeks ago when we looked at, or I guess maybe it was longer than a month ago or a couple of months ago when we were looking at Daniel being lowered into the lion's den, that he wasn't just a strapping young man. He was a man probably in his 80s when this happened. But again, as a father who's about to watch the people of God, as a leader over the people of God, watch the people of God, he's about to witness God lead his people somewhere where many of them haven't even been before. 70 years have passed, and at this point, generation has grown up maybe not even knowing the land of Israel, not even knowing what life was like beforehand. But Daniel understood this from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So he's actually in the word. He's reading the word. And maybe, I don't think this is the first time he read Jeremiah, but maybe it's the first time we all had moments like this. We're reading the word, something where a passage we're so familiar with, and all of a sudden one little phrase just jumps off the page. And we're like, oh my goodness. So maybe Daniel could have said, oh yeah, 70 years and just moved on. But all of a sudden this day, in this moment, while Daniel's in his word, 70 years just jumps off the page on him. And there are actually three different deportations from Jerusalem. Nobody's really sure which one to measure it by. But either way, Daniel's recognizing it's getting close. The time is near. And if you knew that God was about to do something great in your midst, if you put yourself in Daniel's shoes, if you were about to realize, like, this group of people that's in exile in Babylon, God's about to lead them back to their land, what would you do? Some of you are very practical and like, all right, we need supplies, we need to line up things for the journey and administrate things and figure out all the logistics of it. Some of us may start up a website in our ministry and start posting all sorts of stuff about hey, the time is nigh. But Daniel, what does Daniel do? Daniel goes to pray. Isn't it interesting that perhaps there's a greater need than just simply where the pit stops are along on the journey? There's a greater need than just simply saying, hey, I've got the revelation. There's a greater need for the people of God as they're returning back to their land, that God needs to do a work in their hearts as well. You think about the complications of this. Right? I mean, Daniel, as a father, in fact, is that Daniel never ended up returning with the exiles back to their land. But you can think of more, I mean, it's a lot more like the temple has been destroyed, Jerusalem has been leveled. When they get back, it's not just going back to life as normal. They've got to rebuild the city. They've got to rebuild the temple. There's all sorts of, they got to put people in political positions again, in governmental positions again. Not to mention, we don't want to do this again. God, as they go back, would you help us this time not to stray like we did before? Because that's what got us into this mess in the first place. And you see, what's happening here is the same thing as fathers with children who are going off on their own. Daniel realizes the only thing, the best thing I've got to do, I could do for these people is pray for them. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. So as we look at this chapter, looking ahead, it can be divided into two sections. And oftentimes we only focus on one or only focus on the other. And so I'm going to kind of play both. But they actually both play together. They both work together. Sometimes we just want to teach on prayer, we'll just focus on this part of the chapter. If we just want to focus on end times, we'll just focus on the second half. But the idea is that these two things actually go hand in hand together. And this is remarkable to me because I think sometimes we hold back from studying end times because we don't think I haven't read enough books. I don't have enough letters behind my name. I can't understand it. But really, so key to our understanding of what God wants to say about the end times is given to us in the place of prayer. Even John, it says, you have no need of a teacher. You have an anointing within you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Just like the Holy Spirit is leading Daniel right here to understand things about what God's about to do. And so it's too often we keep these things separate, but I want to highlight to us understanding in the end times comes from a lifestyle in prayer. Now, I am going to have to separate these two into two different sermons, but I want us to understand them and see them together. We'll get to the second half next week, but I want us to just to hone in on that point, that understanding of the end times comes from a lifestyle of being in prayer and prayer in the Word. Daniel's in Jeremiah. He's reading the Word. The Holy Spirit highlights something to him, and he gives himself to prayer. And we'll look next week and see how God answered that prayer. But it's a lifestyle of being in prayer and in the Word. And as we look back on the life of Daniel, we see this was his pattern. Chapter 2, the king has a dream. He says, I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. You're going to have to tell me what it is and its interpretation. So what does Daniel do? He gathers his friends and says, let's pray. And then in chapter 6, he's about to face persecution. And it says, this is he went. Daniel's response to this command that they can only pray or worship to the king is he does what he was in the habit of doing, which is three times a day he would go to his room, open his windows to Jerusalem, and begin to pray. And so we understand that this isn't just, when we look at Daniel's life, we're so amazed at how bold he was, how strong and resolute he was, and uncompromising he was. But let's not separate this from the lifestyle of prayer in the Word. Now, these two things go very much together. It's not just simply, come on, guys, we can have enough unction in ourselves to be like Daniel. It's a lifestyle that's given to being in the Word with prayer. So Daniel goes in, I'm going to read through the prayer, and then we're going to come back and just highlight some certain parts of it. I pray to the Lord my God and confess, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy, Lord. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. And so, again, just on looking at this prayer under this idea of Daniel got to this place. This erupted out of Daniel out of response to his word. And so I want to focus today just simply on praying the word and looking at Daniel's prayer as a model. But the first thing you see is that praying the word, it provokes prayer. It's actually fuel for the prayer. Daniel was initially the context of this is Daniel was reading the word of God, specifically either Jeremiah 25 or 29, where Jeremiah the prophet is giving this word of the Lord. And specifically, I want to highlight 29. Just because we're all familiar with that one. But the context is, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Daniel, he may have only seen this really for the first time, but his response was to give himself to prayer. That's the response. He read the word, something was highlighted to him, and his response was to pray over it, to pray about it. And then this discipline of praying the word, or some people call it pray reading the Bible, Daniel actually starts to talk to God about what God has said. Sometimes we'll talk about this when we give ourselves these times of prayer and fasting is we'll ask people to sign up for an hour in the prayer room. And sometimes the difficulty is, well, what on earth would I talk to God about for an hour? You know, and we say, well, I can pray for all the sick people and pray for all the missionaries. And okay, that now I'm kind of out of stuff. But then I just realized I left this on the ground. Hey, God has said so much to us that we have to talk to him about. And we actually take time. Like, again, this isn't about praying more and praying more intensely. It's about just going deeper and saying, God, help. Like Daniel's reading the Word of God, and he hears a promise from God. And it evokes Daniel to start praying about the promise. Like, you can actually read the Word of God, and your eyes highlight a promise. And your first response just be, God, thank you for that promise. Thank you. And maybe you read the promise, you start realizing, like, I don't believe it. You ever read something in the Word and you just sort of, you're like, yeah, that's great. I'd love for that to be true. I know it should be true. I know I should be excited about this, but I'm kind of feeling a little nervous about trusting God for this one. You can actually talk to him. Like, he knows it. He knew it already before you even got there. But you can ask him, like we sang today, give me faith. And we enter in this place not so much of praying more intensely, but praying deeper, responding to the Word of God. The Word of God, praying the Word of God, the Word of God provokes, it fuels our prayer life. We can thank him for the promises. We can ask him for grace and faith to believe his promises. We see more about him in his Word, and we can ask him to show us more. Like, it's not just something, oh, that's cool, shut the Bible and go about our day. It's not about just getting the chapter in or getting your 15 minutes in. It's actually about we're engaging the Word of God in a place of prayer that we actually carry it with us. God, this is who you are. This is amazing. God, show me more. We can actually even sometimes we'll read a command and we're convicted by it. And we realize, I haven't been doing what you said. I've been doing it a completely different way. I thought this was the way to handle it, but now your Word is saying something completely different. God, would you help me to obey you in this? God, would you forgive me for not obeying you and help me to walk as you've commanded me? So you understand that this Word is like fuel for our prayer life. It's not so much about, and all of a sudden you realize, like, prayer isn't about just getting in there and asking for all the needs and all the things that you can think of throughout your day and around the world that we need to ask and get from God. It's actually about, Lord, we connecting. It's about connecting with him. It's about having a conversation with him. Suddenly prayer actually becomes relational. It's not really a relationship if it's just asking and receiving, asking and getting. It's actually, Lord, let's talk about what you've said. Give me greater understanding into these things. And some of you may be saying, well, God's promised this in his Word, and we see Daniel asking God to do what he already promised. Do we have to pray for what God promised? And that's the amazing thing here. Like, there's something, like, prayer just in itself is an act of humility. Because we pray about the things that we can't fix. We pray about the things we can't accomplish. We pray about the things that we can't do for ourselves, or we don't understand, or we don't have wisdom for. So we ask God. And here God is saying, I'm going to restore this people to their land. Well, that's going to require an act of a king. Dan's saying, I don't even know if I have enough influence with this new king to do that. Then there's all the complications that go with getting a people back into their land. That's too big of a task for me. But what happens is when we humble ourselves and pray, when we ask God to do what he says he's going to do, there's an alignment that happens. Because sometimes we're thinking, God, this is too big of a task. This is too far beyond us. This is too unbelievable to even think or imagine. But when we start praying it, we're actually taking a step into and under the will of God, the purposes of God. We're coming into agreement with this. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it, and I'm standing with you. I'm standing for you. I'm contending for what you said you're going to do. And all of a sudden, we go from a place of, I don't know how it's going to work or if that's actually going to happen, to say, no, I'm declaring this is going to happen, even if my heart's not really there yet. So, see, there's something that happens prophetically when we begin to speak these things out in the place of prayer. Or simply when we just simply declare, I'm making a choice. Like I use the example all the time with forgiveness. We, a lot of times we understand here, God calls us to forgive. But you know what? Yeah, my heart's not there yet. Not at all. But Lord, you called us to forgive. I choose forgiveness. I forgive them, Lord. And it's a miracle because the grace of God meets us and changes our hearts in the midst of it. And so as we begin to pray into the things that God says he wants to do, even though our faith isn't there, even though we don't totally understand how it's going to happen, we align ourselves with the purposes of God in these things. So prayer, praying the word provokes and fuels prayer in our lives. Praying the word centers us on the knowledge of God. Look through, just I have here listed just all the things Daniel says throughout his prayer. Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is faithful. Lord, you are righteous. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Lord, you have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers, bringing on us great disaster. For the Lord is righteous in everything he does. Now, Lord, you who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day. God is powerful. Daniel, in his prayer, praying the word, it actually centers us on who God is and on his nature and on the knowledge of God. What a wonderful place to pray from. Like it reminds us of who God is and strengthens our faith. That's what was so great about this morning and the testimonies that we got. Is because you know what? Like I needed to hear that Jonathan Hall is doing not only better than when he had this second episode, but better than what he had at the first episode. Like, thank you, Lisa, for sharing that with us, because I would have thought my prayers were in vain. But you reminded us God's a healer. And we're going to continue to contend for healing in every situation. We don't want to shrink back from that. We want to stand in that. And we know that because of what the Word of God says about who he is. So we center our prayer life not in the circumstances. Again, Daniel's like, God, how are you going to group all these people and move them back to this city, back to this country, and organize them? What an unbelievable task. But God, I'm remembering who you are. I'm remembering your justice. I'm remembering your righteousness. I'm remembering your power and your faithfulness. I'm remembering your forgiveness. I'm remembering your love and your mercy. I'm centering myself on here, and I'm praying out of that reality. Not the reality of my current circumstances. I'm praying out of who you say you are. Praying the word, it centers us on the knowledge of God. And not that God has to be reminded of these things, but we do. It's so easy to forget, isn't it? Like, we get panicked over the smallest little thing. And so I come to God sometimes like, God, you got to help. You got to help. You got to break through. God, I need you so bad. I need you to do something here. I'm desperate, God. You got to. And he's so patient, isn't he? He's like, have I ever let you down? Have I ever abandoned you? Have I ever forgotten you? Can I remind you about this event over here? Where I healed you. Can I show you about this spot right here where I paid this bill miraculously with money literally out of nowhere? Can I remind you about what I did in your family? Can I remind you about what I did here? Like we need to remember these things. I need to be reminded of them. Because this, it doesn't take me to, again, right? This is about going, praying out of the word. The Word of God, when we pray the Word of God, it informs and directs our prayer as well. There's nothing wrong with asking God for something selfish. We're looking for a new car. God, would you provide a new car? Not a brand new one, used one. But we need that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good and but out of all the good things we could pray for, God, what are your purposes? What are your plans? And we find that when we pray the word. Jesus even taught this, pray in this manner. God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And there's a place where we move out of just simply maybe even our anxious, immediate needs of the moment into, God, you're doing something here. I want to be a part of it. I want to see what it is. And I want to partner with you with what you're doing in this moment. How do I do that? The Word of God informs and directs your prayers. God, I want healing today, but I also want your purposes while I wait for that healing. See, it's not shrinking back from expecting God to fulfill his name as healer, but it's about, Lord, in the meantime, you're wanting to do something. You're wanting to work perseverance. You're wanting to make me mature. You're wanting to bring glory to your name in this. And so I want to pray into that. I want it to inform and direct my prayer. This is what I love about the apostolic prayers from Scripture, is that these are the men who are joined with Jesus in a heart for his church. In heart, and you know what? Across all the apostolic prayers, I see so much. They're continually contending for like three things. They're like power, revelation, and love. Think of all the things that we just, we got to do this. God, we just need more power. God, we need to love in radical ways. Like we need to love our enemies. God, I need more revelation of who you are. So I love, like even as it plays into this chapter, right? Paul says, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Holy Spirit, God, would you pour out your Spirit upon us with wisdom and understanding so that we might walk in a manner worthy of you and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of you and strengthened with all power according to your glorious might. Like that, God, we could just pray about that all day. God, I want to see. Release your Spirit so I can see and know your will. Release your Spirit so that make us fruitful in every good work. Grow us in the knowledge of you. Strengthen us with all power. See, the word of praying, the word, it begins to direct and inform our prayers. That it's not suddenly about, God, we gotta, I don't know, all the stuff, right? And it centers us around. And we see this even at the end. This is really the only, for all those 19 verses, this is where Daniel makes his plea, for your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear, open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. Lord, listen, Lord, forgive, Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This is about his name. It's about his sanctuary. It's about his people. It's about his reputation. Praying the word, it brings clarity to our true condition. The word of God is referred to as a light to us. It shines on our hearts. And I think when we center around ourselves about the faithfulness, center ourselves around the faithfulness, the mercy, the forgiveness, the justice, the righteousness of God, suddenly we just realize how unlike him we really are. Like, you're just so merciful, you're so forgiving, you're so righteous, and I'm just not. Even Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And what people marvel at in this response, in Daniel's prayer here, is he lists the sins of his people, but he uses pronouns like we, our. He says, I was confessing my sins and the sins of my people. This is kind of remarkable. Like, we look at Daniel's life and we're so like, man, Daniel, you're the man. Like, I could never stand, I could never be as strong and as bold as you are. And yet here he is saying, I'm right there in the mix of this sinful people. I've grown up in the church and I've heard plenty of self-appointed prophets who stand on a pedestal and point at America and say, God's going to judge you, America, for your sins. I've heard very few intercessors saying, God, forgive us. And sometimes, like, I'm challenged in this. I don't have all the answers, but I think there's something in this of the Lord. Many times we say, well, you know what? All the racial issues, there's not a racist bone in my body. That's not me. It was our fathers. It was our ancestors that did that. It was the generation before us. What does Daniel say in our prayer? Our fathers. Lord, forgive us. Our fathers did this. I don't know where that lands, but there's something in this for us to own. When it comes to issues of pornography or abortion in our land, like, what's our posture? Lord, forgive us. Lord, there's none righteous. There's nobody who can stand here. But God, we're centering ourselves on your justice and your mercy and your righteousness and your forgiveness, your faithfulness to us. God, heal our land. God, save. God, hear. God, deliver. God, act. God, move. In your wrath, remember mercy. There's a completely different posture here than what so many of us, myself included, embrace. It's remarkable when we consider Daniel's life that he prays in this manner, but I think any man of prayer or the word will see clearly in light of God's faithfulness, his righteousness, his mercy, his forgiveness, his power. He sees our need. I remember when I first received the invitation to pastor, when we were considering this, we literally wrestled with God. It was just this torturous thing for months. And literally within the same day, sometimes within the same hour, I'd go from saying, the Lord's in this, to there's no way I'm going to do this at all. And so I thought I had a good plan with the Lord. I made a list of all my inadequacies, all my failures, all my weaknesses, and I brought them to the Lord. But the conversation did not go how I expected. I said, Lord, here's the list of all the reasons why this is a bad idea. He says, you forgot about this. I said, oh yeah, that's good too. He said, what about this? Oh, yeah. What about this? And all of a sudden, like, I wasn't feeling condemned. I was just realizing I knew the Lord enough to know, here it comes. And suddenly I just was reminded, right? Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that this power is from God and not from us. Like, all of us are just weak enough to be useful to him. Like, Daniel's this, you see, this is mighty man of God, but Daniel's like, I'm just as sinful, just as much a wretch. I'm so just as broken as the rest of us. I'm just as in need of the mercy and forgiveness, the righteousness of God as any one of us, my fathers included. But I think is also neat in this is that we see Daniel, you see him mirroring Christ actually in this. Because Christ had every right to stand back and say, you're under judgment. But yet he actually embraced us in our weakness, took on our humility. He said he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. In other words, he in a sense shared in the curse, took on the curse of sin for us. Died on the cross, rose from the dead, now he lives forever to make intercession for us. Like this place of intercession, it's not just God heal them and fix them, it's God heal us and fix us. This place of prayer from the word, it's God, we all need you in this. So struggles, you know, we just put in there Daniel chapter 9 as the title. A lot of times I couldn't tell you the title of a message till afterwards, but I thought, you know, in considering some of this, I'm like, well, what's our motivation in moving into praying the word? I thought effective prayer. But then as I pondered that a little more, I said, well, effective how? Like, you know, sometimes we say praying effectively means that, you know, we think in our minds, well, that means everything I'm going to ask for, I'm going to get right away the way that I want it. But as I was considering these things about praying the word of God, I think it's effective on us. Like, I want to grow in the knowledge of God. So I'm going to bring prayer into the time of reading the word. Like, I'm going to ask you, God, give us greater understanding. Give us, like, affect me in this prayer, God. Open my eyes. Let me see more. Let me be gripped by the knowledge of you. Show me your glory. Lord, I want my heart completely captivated and enthralled in the knowledge of you. Lord, completely undo me with a revelation of who you are. Wreck me. praying the word. Like it. It humbles us. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Prayer in the word grows us in Christ's likeness. Like I want my prayer life, this idea of praying in the word, again, like I said at the beginning, if we're just taking this as, okay, I want to pray more. No, I want to pray with greater effectiveness. I want to pray a place that's deeper. I want to pray in a way that's more engaging. I want to pray in a way that ends up being more enjoyable, that draws me to pray more. Like if I get this, like if I get revelation in the knowledge of who God is, if I'm led to pray for the things that God is wanting to do, if I'm seeing myself rightly before him and having a greater appreciation of all that he's done and all that he is, like that thing motivates me to do this more. My goal in prayer isn't just because I like sitting in a room quietly holding hands with other believers and just trying to see who can endure this the most. Like God, I want to know you. God, I want to be transformed by you. God, I want to see you as you are. God, I want to be humble. I want to be made more like Jesus. And you do this in your word and prayer. So my encouragement, the charge as we leave today is just as you go about your week, is just to start taking steps of engaging with the scriptures in the place of prayer. I've heard it said that, you know, praying without ceasing, it's not just like being like this 24/7, it's just one sentence prayers throughout the day. As your mind is drawn back to the things of the Lord, as you see him provide, as you see him open doors, as you see him just do things around you, as you see the beauty of the great place that we live, you just say, God, thank you. Thank you for that view of the mountains. We saw a bald eagle on the way to church this morning. I've lived here almost 30 years. This morning is the first time I saw a bald eagle. We were late to church. We had to stop and turn around and take pictures. I'm like, God, I love you, but this is America. A week or so ago, I meant to write it down, but the psalmist says, tremble before him. He who turns a rock into a pool of water. And he's referencing back what he did for the Israelites. And it just, like, tremble before him. He does these impossible things. Like, God, like, and my response in that is, God, thank you for reminding me of that. God, help me to believe that for greater impossible things like that you want to do. I don't want to shrink back from those things. God, teach me to tremble before you in light of these things. Like we have this opportunity that not just to simply just, like I said, just get our 15 minutes in and go about our day. What is that? That's just saying, God, hey, I did the thing. Thou bless me as I go. But our blessing is in knowing him. Our blessing is in being transformed and being made more like him. Our blessing is partnering with him in what he wants to do. See, when Daniel read this and these things are highlighted to him, it was an invitation. Daniel, would you come and be a part of what I want to do? Would you pray into this? And every time this week, let's have the worship team come forward. Every time this week where scripture, a phrase, is highlighted to you, understand this. God is working in you something to ready you for what he's about to do. Like there's a challenge ahead. There's a crisis ahead. There's going to be moments where it's going to require something of you that's not in you today. And you can say, well, that's a nice scripture, and move about your day. Or we can say, Lord, would you make this real? Lord, this is your word. This is your truth. God, I'm standing on this even though I don't see it, even though I don't understand it, even though I don't even know how this applies to my life in the moment. God, I want to connect with this in a way that's tangible. I want to connect with this in a way that I can stand on it, that I can move on it, that it becomes my whole paradigm shifts and aligns with yours. I had a thought and it escaped me. All right, let's stand together. Close in prayer.